You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Carrie Young, in for Tiziana Deering. College sports are about to look a lot different. There's been a flurry of moves recently, many announced this summer, that will shuffle several high-profile teams out of old athletic conferences into new ones. Here to discuss all of that and tell us what that means is one of Boston's most storied sports writers, Bob Ryan, has been writing for the Boston Globe since the 60s. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so we're just going to dive right in. This shifting around, at least in earnest, really started in 2021 when two powerhouse football schools, Texas and Oklahoma, decided to switch conferences. So can you tell us a little bit more about what happened there and what that led to?
It's all about pursuit of money, specifically money generated by football through the networks who are bidding for the football property. And football is the engine that drives things. It has wrecked basketball conferences such as the Big East. It has altered the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, which was founded on basketball almost 70 years ago. It's the driving force. And they're all trying to get the money. And the thing is, we have this thing called Power Five conferences, the five biggest conferences with the power. Are the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12, the Big East, excuse me, the ACC, and the Pacific Coast Conference. And they're basically in a money arms race.
Right. Okay, so you say this is about money, and football is driving a lot of this. Can you dig into that a little bit more? Why is that? Is that because of the high profile of a lot of these football games when they air and the advertisements that go into that? Is that right, or what?
It's popularity. It's a popular sport in many areas of the country, not necessarily urban areas. This is a very interesting social dynamic. It's religion in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It's religion in Gainesville, Florida. It is not religion in New York City, Boston, Philadelphia, etc. That's the story.
Right.
Football is very popular, and Now, I have to back up a little bit. Up to about, I'm not sure when exactly happened, but in the 70s or 80s, there was very restricted football televising going on. Game of the week and local televising was non-existent. And then there was a legal ruling that they could change that and they could go national and network. And that unleashed forces that are now we're seeing, in full speed today.
Okay. I have to agree with you. I am from the South. I went to Clemson. I know you are a BC grad, so we're sort of rivals there
in the
ACC sports. But in the South, it feels like college football feels like something very different. People think of it differently, watch it differently. If you could explain that a little bit more, why?
Well, one of this very, very simple reason, not the only reason, but let's start with this. I mentioned how it's urban versus non-urban. Well, it's whether or not, whether it's not a dominant professional entity and the void for competitive, for big time sport, interest and competition is fulfilled by American colleges. We are the only country on earth that does this, in which the institutions of higher learning provide what I would call entertainment for the masses. In Europe and South America, this adolescent sports are you play in clubs. It's not the schools. You do not play for a school team. You go join a club.
Okay.
But in America, we have had this system going on since Harvard and Yale wrote in the 1850s. Seriously.
The Ivy League? Is that what that was?
It all started with the rowing race between Harvard and Yale in the 1850s.
Okay.
And then baseball came along. Football, by 1880s and 90s, was starting to take hold mostly in Eastern colleges, and both coasts, actually. Early as 1904, Harvard Stadium was built, the first concrete stadium in America. And so football has a long history, college football, a long history in America. But as I said, mostly rooted, however, as time went on, in these non-urban areas.
Well, I want to jump in and ask a little bit more about some of the shifting around that we've been talking about. Some of the major schools that have announced this, let's see, USC, UCLA, University of Washington, they're it's so historically West Coast, Pac-12, are going to a historically Midwestern Big Ten in 2024. Then Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State are leaving the Pac-12 and joining the Big 12 in 2024. Right. And, you know, so this is, I mean, that's quite the list. Why, I know you said money, why are we not in regions anymore?
Well, because people have abrogated common sense in terms of regional rivalries. They have scheduling. It's just everything is subservient to trying to fuck us through that dollar. Now, it's going to be have rising costs for transportation, of course, and how this affects the so-called minor sports, the so-called non-revenue sports, is cataclysmic. I begin to imagine. But remember, we now have, potentially, it's going to happen by 2024, a conference that will extend from Los Angeles, California, to New Brunswick, New Jersey.
I know, just thinking about that is really crazy to think about. I mean, just throw regions right out the window there.
Right.
And that makes me think about, like, I mean, I used to have friends in the marching band, and they would a lot of times travel with the football team. So that's not even just the less primetime sports, but you have a lot of people traveling long distances. What kind of impact will this have on students, do you think?
Huge. And all kinds of possibilities. The ramifications are enormous, and they're far-reaching. That's attending road games for families or patrons in general terms is going to change. So many of the natural rivalries are going to be erased. It's illogical. It's laughable. If someone had told you this 30 years ago, you'd say it's impossible. What are you talking about? How can you have a Big Ten conference that includes Los Angeles and New Brunswick, New Jersey?
Well, I think
or College Park, Maryland.
I think you raise a good point about road games. I mean, so again, my experience is really just Clemson. I'm a fan of my team and don't follow a ton of others. But what I do know is that our fans really travel. The ACC, it seems like, is not really experiencing a ton of shifting, or really any, at the moment. But, I mean, yeah, I would imagine that does make a difference on people who are willing to travel to these games, and maybe even, you know, the tourism that comes with that. How do you feel about that?
There is a discussion that Cal and Stanford, who have been orphaned by the demise of the Pac-12, which is down to four, Cal, Stanford, Oregon State, and Washington State, have been in discussion with the ACC. Now, as of a day or so ago, apparently those discussions have broken down. But the idea, you know, it fits along with USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten. But yeah, they were actually entertaining the thought that they would be willing to do this. This is where we are. But no, the ramifications, as we both seem to understand, of travel for it doesn't bother these people, these college presidents. It is the college presidents who have the final say, not the athletic directors. And so they're responsible ultimately. And the idea of student athleticism and amateurism and graduation rates are farcical now. It's farcical. They can't look us in the eye and say that academics have any role in this whatsoever, or that they care very much about the academic progress of these students, these young men and women, by the way, as well. And once again, I point out, only America does this, and America wants these games, and they're going to get them one way or the other.
Okay, we are talking about college football conference realignment with Bob Ryan, a sports writer, a longtime sports writer here in Boston. So I want to talk about Boston College a little bit, focus in on that. Home of New England's preeminent college football program. It's an ACC member, and it itself has somewhat of a history with realignment. I remember, actually, when BC joined the ACC in 2005, it contributed to the gutting of the Big East when it left that conference to join the ACC. So, I don't know, what are your thoughts? Does BC have some blood on its hands from that move?
Interesting you say that, because it occurred to me, never had occurred to me until I began my preparation to write a column I wrote on Sunday about this matter, that, you know, when BC went to the ACC, it was a big story. Now, Miami Miami first went and joined the ACC, but at least they're, you know, geographically more logical after all, there were some northern neighbors that weren't that far away and on the Atlantic coast itself. Boston College was an aberrational member, and they only went because, as Gene DeFilippo, the athletic director, said then, Miami's the lead dog, we got to follow them, and it was all about football. He was a football man. And BC was the canary in the mineshaft, as it turns out. If you go back and look, you will not find another example of a wow, that's an head-scratching, eyebrow-raiser school leaving a logical home to go to an illogical home. It may very well have started with Boston College. How about that?
That's something to think about. I mean, so fast-forwarding to today, if more powerhouse ACC schools like maybe Florida State leave the conference, do you think BC could be in trouble?
Well, they're going nowhere. I don't think, but they've been in trouble in a sense for years anyway, and that both their basketball and football programs have languished in the ACC after an initially good start. They moved into the ACC with a very good basketball team and a very quality football team, but in the last 8 or 9 years or so, they're just after also rans in that conference for various reasons. They're kind of in trouble anyway. Their programs are not doing the job that they need to do to keep the fan interest up and general fan interest up in Boston, I can tell you that.
Okay. So, Bob, as a sports writer, I know, and you can just tell by talking to you, that you are very passionate about sports and about football. What does BC football mean to you, especially as a BC grad?
Well, first of all, football is my number three after baseball and basketball. But no,
okay,
but
fair.
And in college, it's basketball number one by far. Now, but I care about BC football. I went there and followed it very. And they followed them for 50 years now, literally. I forget the question exactly. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. What does BC? What does BC football program mean to you as a grad?
They're the most preeminent athletic program in New England, in terms of college football. There's no question. They are the one connection to the big time world that has mattered over the years is Boston College. And, you know, go back to the famous Doug Flutie era when they were a nationally ranked team. And they were a team. So they are the alpha dog of New England college football. And as such, their bark isn't very loud these days. it's pretty timid, but it's still BC. You know, it's obviously none of the other major state universities, and it's not Holy Cross. There's no other independent school. It's still they still are as close to the national scene as any school in New England in football can be. Now, basketball, of course, far different. UConn is a four-time national champion, so that's a lot different. But football, it's still Boston College, and quite frankly, they're not doing very much keep making anybody very proud.
Do you think, you know, I know we've got a lot of professional sports teams in general here in Boston and just in New England, really. Do you think college sports could ever play that big of a role in this region? Or what would that take?
We are a sport, a professionally oriented region, and we'll never be the Tuscaloosas or the Lawrence, Kansases or the Chapel Hill, North Carolinas or anything like that. We'll never be that. And, we're looking to get a piece of the pie, a share of the interest. But that, I mean, I've watched this on, look, I've been fighting this battle since I arrived here from New Jersey in 1964, trying to interest people in college basketball and football the way I was raised.
Okay.
And it's never going to happen, frankly,
okay.
Period.
So I'm going to cut you off so I can ask a quick question. We have about a minute left, but former Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker is the current NCAA president. So how would you advise him going forward with this realignment and some of the mess we're seeing?
I would have advised him not to take the job. That's number one. But I guess he's being well compensated to take it. He'll find out it's a miserable job. But the reason he got the job, as far as I can tell, is that they hope that he will have contacts in Congress to help them get what they want in terms of national legislation with regard to this name, image, and likeness issue that is a major change and dramatic change in college sports. And right now there's 50 states with 50 different rules and regulations, and they want to get one
right.
that everybody will have to abide by, and they hope they'll have the clout and the lobbyists' ability to get this done.
Bob, we are going to have to leave it there. You are so interesting to talk to about sports. Even the novice in me can talk to you about this. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.